listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined by Diana West, one of our go-to folks on matters involving, well, the sort of assault on our culture as well as our society and security, posed particularly by these ideological enemies of the past and of today. Diana West, of course, is a blogger par excellence. You can find her writings at dianawest.net, the author of two gangbusters books, one Death of the Grown-Up and the other American Betrayal, a secret assault on our nation's character. Diana, welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, Frank. Great to be with you.
So let's take stock. We've just been hearing from Tawfiq Hamid about the mistakes that are being made by the Obama administration in embracing the Muslim Brotherhood, specifically in Egypt, but also here at home. And I wondered what your thoughts were on that as part of the larger set of concerns about what the president was up to at his so-called Countering Violent Extremism summit last week.
Well, what wasn't the president up to at that summit? I mean, it was such an embarrassment and such a difficult thing to live through as an American. But there was one aspect of it that actually just came out of his op-ed that he used to kick off the summit, where he discussed the notion that what he calls violent extremists, those engaging in global jihad, etc., have legitimate grievances. And this, to me, I think was almost a revolutionary comment coming from a president of the United States. It sounded like a spokesman for one of these groups to talk about legitimate grievances. I found it quite stunning.
Yeah, but this is really of a piece with all of the other things. I mean, the Crusader remark, the apology tour, and more generally kind of the affinity that he's exhibited from everything from the call to prayer to, these brotherhood-related organizations. Diana West, that brings me to a news item today from the Center for Security Policy about a revelation that one of the members of the House Intelligence Committee, Andre Carson, has deep and extensive and longstanding ties to various fronts for the Muslim Brotherhood and, well, jihadists in America. Groups like the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the Islamic Society of North America, the Islamic Circle of North America, the Muslim American Society, and on, all of whom have established relationships with the Muslim Brotherhood and are, well, part of, I believe, the global jihad. And yet, we've had the House Minority Leader, Nancy Pelosi, appoint Andre Carson to the House Intelligence Committee. Now, I just wonder what you, as a serious student of the penetration of our government and subversion from within dating back to the communist era and its insights for what's happening today, what do you make of this and what should we as a people make of it?
Well, there's something very important that we need to add to our understanding of this. Of course, I find this chilling. The reason I find it chilling is if we go back to the model that was used by the Soviet Union in the 1930s, it was something called Popular Front or People's Front governments, whereby communist agents, secret communists, would become a part of a governing council. This happened prominently in Spain and France, for example, but it arguably happened here as well under the Roosevelt administration, whereby these people are actually serving a non-American entity, whether it was the Soviet Union or global communism, or if we talk about the Muslim Brotherhood, we're talking about a global Islamic movement dedicated to a caliphate in which the United States does not exist. So if we look at this and we see an Andre Carson with ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, we have to question, are we looking at an Islamic front being created out of the House Intelligence Committee with someone who is so closely tied to an international organization and movement, so at odds with the existence of our Constitution and our own nation?
Yeah, no, I mean, putting it a little bit more starkly, using their words, it's not just that they're at odds, that they, don't fancy our approach. The Muslim Brotherhood, as you know, Diana West, according to a document introduced into evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial by the federal government, actually has our destruction at our own hands as their purpose. So, I mean, this is a serious problem.
No, it's very serious. And again, when you look at them, if you look at the House Intelligence Committee with a representative of the Muslim Brotherhood, let's call it that, and understand it as now a penetrated group. I mean, this is what we're looking at. This is the kind of thing we have to get our minds around, because it's very difficult to, because, of course, this whole way of thinking that people can be working for global movements that are seeking our destruction is something that's been stamped out of us as McCarthyism. We're not supposed to acknowledge that there could be enemies domestic as well as foreign. We're not supposed to ever acknowledge that we can be changed or penetrated or influenced by these actors. So this becomes kind of a leap we have to take, and I suggest studying the precedent as laid out in American Betrayal so that we can see these parallels more clearly and try to do something to stave off disaster.
Yeah. Well, you're making some leaps. I don't know that they're unwarranted based on the evidence that we've compiled, but it does, I think, require us to be reflecting carefully on whether we're adequately attentive to these kinds of relationships and even the possibility that people could be, I don't know, sources of compromises of highly classified information. For example, you know, what the U.S. government is doing, if anything, to try to counter the Muslim Brotherhood in America, or at the very least serve as a kind of influence operator inside the councils of this very important oversight committee at a moment when, you know, the government isn't getting enough of a, I think, scrubbing for what it's doing with respect to outreaching to and enabling of and legitimating of and even underwriting and arming, in some cases, the Muslim Brotherhood.
Right. I mean, yes, it's a historical model that certainly has lessons for today. Yes, and I think that influence is always more important even than breaches of security, because influence has a way of shaping our patterns of behavior as a nation and shaping our ways of defending or not our nation. So these become very long-term and intractable problems of influence. While you might have that member with these ideas discussing the legitimate grievances of ISIS and other groups in the House Intelligence Committee, as the president does. So you can sort of see that we already have some major problems on this same front in terms of what our nation is and what our relation is to these nefarious movements.
Yeah. Well, and it's sufficient to say, as Tafiq Hamid earlier recounted, that part of the tradecraft, and this is a guy, of course, who spent time inside Jamaat Islamiyah, one of the knockoffs of the Muslim Brotherhood in his native Egypt. One of the aspects of tradecraft is that these are always the nicest guys in the room. And I think everyone will doubtless respond to this dossier by saying, oh, this is such a nice guy. I've known him for a long time. He's served with distinction, yada, yada. The point is not how nice he is. The point is, has he put himself in a position, or is he in fact minded, as the president seems to be, for crying out loud, that the Muslim Brotherhood really is a team that we can do business with safely? And if so, that is a huge problem inside an outfit like the Intelligence Committee. Diana West, we are hard out of time, and there's so much more to talk about, but we'll look forward to doing so again with you next week as we do each of these visits. Keep up the great work that you're doing at dianawest.net, and of course, please check out American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. Next up, we'll speak with Michael Maloof. We'll talk about the administration's unbelievable revelations about future military operations and what that might mean for all of us straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.